And it is a Thursday, and that always means it's time to talk to the voice of the KU Jayhawks, Brian Haney, here on the Sports Ticket. And Brian's appearance always brought to you by our fine friends over at Anderson Insurance Agency there in Beloit. Brian, how you doing after that big win over Indiana?
Man, that was a blast, Wade. I'll tell you what, we were, you know, setting the stage and the scene for an epic, tradition-rich head-to-head. I don't say blue blood head-to-head because I think that there's five blue bloods in Indiana's on the outside looking in, as we talked about last week. And by the way, I used some of our conversation during the second half when we were talking about how long it had been since Indiana had been in the Final Four and all that stuff. But, you know, it still was a great stage set with 14 versus 8 nationally and two, you know, brand-name schools, and yet it never was that competitive. Obviously, they cut it to 10 at one point in the second half, but KU goes on to win it going away. And I thought, even though Trace Jackson Davis was brilliant in blocking nine shots, Kansas largely took him out of the game in the entire first half. He didn't score until the 92nd mark, you know, a minute and a half to go in the first half. And we saw six Jayhawks in double figures. We saw team high, season high, 17 steals, which you get 8 or 9 in a game, that's a big number. They doubled that. Grady Dick had 5. Kevin McCullough had 5. They turned defense into offense almost every time they forced a turnover. I mean, it was live ball turnovers, rip and runs, just amazing stuff, scoring quicker on the other end right off those steals. And so I thought it was about as good as you could expect Kansas to play. And so even though we had all that hype and hoopla heading in, Kansas, Indiana, all that stuff, I mean, it was clearly one team that looked like a national title contender and the other that looked like, you know, maybe they'll be a Sweet 16 team. And I know their second-leading scorer got hurt, but maybe that makes a 22-point game a 14-point game, because I think Kansas still wins this thing convincingly. And it was neat to see some of the national love, like Jeff Goodman tweeting during the game, okay, I'm convinced these guys can repeat. And that really speaks to, you know, not only how much Kansas is starting to round into form as some of these new pieces get more acclimated, but also how wide open college basketball is this year. You don't have a clear head and shoulders above the rest top type team. And I think that, you know, consequently, a team like Kansas that has some nice veteran pieces and an influx of some new, you know, NBA prospect type talent, Grady Dick, you add all that together, and this could be, you know, one of the odds-on favorites to win it all. So Saturday was great. Obviously, you got to back it up tonight with Harvard. It's kind of like if you're on that par 3 180-yard hole on the golf course, and you absolutely stick your tee shot within 5 feet of the cup, and you're confident walking up to the green. You still got to make the putt. You know, Kansas may have had a great tee shot on Saturday, but to feel good heading into the holiday break, you got to step up and knock this one down. And that's not to say that Harvard is a pushover by any means, but this is clearly, you know, the lesser of the two opponents, and you'd hate to stub your toe by overlooking them because you're thinking about the holiday break, thinking about getting home to mama's cooking and all that stuff. So I think Self will have his guys as dialed in as they can be, but at the same time, you know, feel good and confident. This Kansas team right now probably is sitting about as good as they possibly could, given how tough the schedule was. To be 11-1 right now with a chance to you know, finish the holiday break, you know, a great showing, you know, and head into Big 12 conference play with a full head of steam as one of the top two teams to be in the Big 12. You couldn't have asked for much more, especially when you consider you lost two NBA first rounders after a national title season. You lost the guy that hit the biggest shot and the best sixth man, and yet here we sit, what is it, 8 months later, and Kansas is being talked about by the national pundits as maybe one of the top two or three teams to beat in the whole country. That just speaks to how spoiled we are as KU basketball fans. We've got a coaching staff that reloads so easily.
Yeah, absolutely. Instead of rebuilding, it's reload. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks with us, is always brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. You know, last time KU had a big win in regards to overlooking the next one was Duke, remember? Of course, they won, and then Southern Utah nearly bit KU. So I would think they'll be a little more prepared this time around after two big wins against Missouri and Indiana, going against Harvard. And then, of course, conference season starts, believe it or not, December 31st, a week from this Saturday, on New Year's Eve Day against Oklahoma State at 1 o'clock there at Allen Fieldhouse. I want to touch upon something that you alluded to, a couple things you alluded to. One, you know, Jeff Goodman mentioning, and other people kind of jumping on the wagon and saying, you know, KU is definitely a national championship contender. I'm convinced now after seeing what they've done the last two games, and how could you not? And I certainly didn't know what the landscape of college basketball is going to be this year. Who's the best teams per se? I mean, North Carolina has pretty much everybody back from a team that, you know, had a big lead at halftime and couldn't hold on against KU. I think many people would have picked them to win it all, and they very well could still win it all. They might be just a little bit bored. Who knows? Kind of like a pro team sometimes, and they know that we make the tournament. It doesn't matter what seed we are. We can make a run, and we'll be right there. They're as talented as anybody. But, you know, to me, Kansas being a national championship contender, no surprise, because Bill Self's coaching this team and they have a wealth of talent and they certainly have depth off the bench that they're not even able to utilize. I mean, MJ Rice barely played the other day. Zach Clements isn't playing a lot. Uday is been beaten out for, it looks like, the backup post position right now. I mean, KU has a plethora of talent like they always do. Nothing's changed there. You mentioned the key guys they lost, but they certainly have key guys coming back from that team a year ago. And then you add in McCullough with his experience at Texas Tech. But I was talking with Dusty about this earlier this week, Brian. I like your take on it. To me, the reason Kansas is a national championship contender is because of all the things I just mentioned. But the other reason that they are is that this seems to be, and I know it seems like we say it every year, but a few years ago it was clear cut. Baylor, Gonzaga were the best teams in basketball. I mean, everybody pretty much felt that they were tier one. And it seems like each year we have one, two, three, maybe five teams we think are clearly better than everybody else. But I'm sitting here right now. I've seen Purdue play. They're good. They beat Gonzaga. They beat Duke. But they also almost lost to Nebraska in Lincoln in overtime. They're definitely beatable, in my opinion. I look at UConn. That's a team I don't know very well. They're number two. They're very athletic, off to a great start. You know, Houston is a team, plays great defense, has offensive lapses. Virginia is a team that always plays good defense, but they struggle on offense. KU, we know all about them. Arizona is talented. The point I'm trying to make is I think even more so KU has a chance to defend their title because of the landscape of college basketball. There is just nobody that jumps out and you say, oh yeah, that's the team to beat. And we've played, you know, 11 games of the season.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And Coach Self was making that same point the other day, just how wide open it is this year. And so Kansas right now is definitely on the one line, but there's probably 12 teams that as of December, you know, 22nd are all jockeying to be one seeds, you know, heading into the next couple of months. And you know, the pecking order around them could change dramatically. Heck, it's changed already in the Big 12 Conference in what looks like an ultra-competitive league this year. Some pundits are projecting 9 NCAA tournament teams out of the Big 12. And that'll change once they start beating up on each other a little bit. But, you know, Texas, with what's gone on with Chris Beard, still one of the most talented teams in the country. But, you know, do you put them as a you know, true top five type national contender? They're currently 7th in the polls with some of the controversy going on there. Tough to say. Baylor has looked great at times and beatable at others. And they're right now 9-2, but that tells me that you know, they're right there in the mix, but maybe not in the national elite type tier that they were a couple of seasons ago. And so Kansas is going to be tested, no doubt, in this league, but I think the Jayhawks, clearly in my mind, are the team to beat in the Big 12 as we get set for league play opening on New Year's Eve. And if you win this league, as good as they're making it out to be, you're absolutely a one seed.
Yep.
Because the non-con resume is such that if you go out and back it up with, you know, a 14-4 type year in the Big 12, then you're absolutely a one seed in a conference that realistically could have 80% of its teams in there and could have, you know, three teams that are all in that two line or higher, you know, type seed range. And so that's the meat grinder that the Big 12 is most years. It's especially tough this year. And so I think for Kansas, to your point about how open it is, if they just go out and navigate what is probably the most competitive league in all of college basketball, they're going to be on the one line. And who's there with them remains to be seen. A couple of weeks ago, you would have thought, you know, Houston was the team to beat. Right now, UConn at 13-0 looks pretty good. You talked about Purdue. I think there's going to be a lot of moving and shaking going on. But the bottom line is, you know, we've got college basketball's most accomplished and most steady hand at the wheel head coach right now after the retirements of Coach K, Coach Williams, and obviously Jay Wright. And, you know, we got a guy who's got a National Player of the Year contender in Jalen Wilson, an NBA lottery pick in Grady Dick, and just, you know, upside out the wazoo when you look at all the other pieces, like two guys that could be National Defensive Player of the Year candidates in Kevin McCullough and DeJuan Harris. So I'll put my money on these Jayhawks any day, so long as Bill Self at the reins. And when you look at how wide open the rest of college basketball looks to be at the top,
give me the continuity that Self brings and all those factors I just gave you. And it's easy to see why some of these pundits like Jeff Goodman and Jay Billis and others are saying, look out, Kansas could repeat.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing what Coach Self does and the roster they put together. Let's change gears to the bowl game coming up. KU in a bowl game the first time in many years. They're taking on Arkansas, the Liberty Bowl down in Memphis, coming up on December the 28th, which will be next Wednesday. We want to talk about it now because, of course, next time we talk to you will be next Thursday, the day after the bowl game, so we can recap, hopefully, what is a KU win and to finish a winning season. You know, the one thing about bowl games is you wonder about the motivation for teams going in, what kids are going to play, what kids are not going to play, whether it be by choice if they're getting ready for the NFL draft, whether it's they don't want to take a chance on an injury. And then there's also kids that have been hurt. They have a chance to heal up and maybe have a chance to play one final game before the season's over, whether it's a senior, the last game of their career, or perhaps just the last game of the season. They'll come back strong with a vengeance next year. What about Kansas's situation going into the game against Arkansas health-wise, and what do you anticipate in that matchup?
Well, I think all those factors favor Kansas. I think that there'll be at least one name that surprises you is potentially healthy, and we'll see what next week brings. But by and large, I mean, this is a roster that is all bought in, all still committed to be there, all focused on bringing Kansas its first bowl victory since the 2008 Inside Bowl. And for Arkansas, who was just in a bowl game a year ago beating Penn State and kind of old hat, they've had a lot of guys on both sides of the ball, you know, as many as five defensively and four offensively that might not play. And so that's not to downplay the caliber of competition or feel like, you know, it's going to be a pushover by any stretch. Hey, we're still underdogs in the eyes of Vegas. But clearly the want-to factor is on Kansas's side. Clearly the roster continuity is on Kansas's side. And so while they might have a few more fans based on how close the drive is, I still think Jayhawk Nation is going to show out well. I think it'll be good atmosphere all around. But I think some of those intangibles and some of the very tangible things like who's actually playing clearly favor the Crimson and Blue. And so that's not to overlook the fact that they still have one of the best running back, quarterback combinations in the country. But we feel like we do too. And I think that's maybe one of the biggest matchups to spotlight and focus on is, you know, the KJ Jefferson versus Jalen Daniels quarterback head-to-head, and then what they've got with Raheem Sanders opposite of Devin Neal and the other Kansas backs. That's going to be fun to follow. But I think you look up and down their roster, and as you alluded to, whether it's the portal or the draft or injury or a coordinator taking a job elsewhere, I mean, there's a lot that's not consistent and full of continuity on the Arkansas side, whereas it very much is for Kansas. I mean, Kansas offseason, they've locked up their head coach, their coordinators. They've got buy-in from guys that could have been seniors on senior day that have already said, I'm coming back for next year, and I want to win this bowl game first. And so it's a special feel around the Kansas program. And again, that's not to, you know, paint this challenge lighter than what it is. It's still a huge, huge challenge because this is a club that was rated as high as number 10 in the country 3 weeks into the season. So we still are very mindful and wary of what Arkansas can bring. But I think based on the way you phrased the question, all those factors favor Kansas heading in, and that has to make you feel very good.
Absolutely. All right, so we end this interview with Brian Haney with our off-the-wall questions. Questions, plural. Sure. It is the holiday time of the year. It is Christmas, only a few days away. So here we go. I've got four quickies for you. You ready?
All right, let's do it.
Favorite Christmas movie for Brian Haney is?
Wow. So I grew up on Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, which was a Jim Henson kids classic.
Okay.
And we would watch it every year in the Haney household. Loved it. In terms of rom-coms, it's tough to beat Love Actually, and I do like rom-coms. Sorry to pull my man card. In terms of just laugh out loud, funny stuff, Four Christmases is great. So all of those, to me, would be definite tune-ins and check them out each year.
All right, favorite Christmas food?
Ooh, favorite Christmas food. That's a tough one. You know, here's the thing. We have so many wonderful fans that show up to Hawk Talk and bring us these platters of cookies and brownies and all kinds of stuff. And I don't know if my teeth are going to rot first or I'm going to add 2 inches to my waistline, but it's so stinking good. And I'm one of those guys, I can't say no, and I'm so grateful and appreciative. So I guess it's all the holiday sweets, But believe me, I'm paying for it right now, and I'll be the first guy making the New Year's resolution to have two-a-days to try to get this off once the January 1 hits.
Favorite Christmas song. We know how much you love music. What's your favorite Christmas song?
Man, that's a tough one. You know, it'd be hard to pick just one, but I'll tell you what I've been listening to at the gym lately, trying to work off all those sweets. I'll put it on the Pentatonics Christmas mix.
Oh, they're
which
good.
Which is like that a cappella group of guys and gals. They're so good. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I wish I had their vocal talent. So put it on Pentatonics Christmas mix, and then just pick any one of the great tunes they've got there. But, yeah, that's some of my favorite stuff for sure.
That's awesome and professional, but I'll still go with the Chipmunks. I just that that, and I want a hippo for Christmas, and Grandma got ran over by a reindeer, which I still don't know I don't know what Grandpa did. Why isn't there a sequel? But
yeah, was the Chipmunk song Christmas
yep.
time is here?
Yes,
yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Oh
don't
yeah,
don't make a promo out of that. That was not good.
Wow, well, yeah. Could you do it again? I need a longer cut. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's why I cut it. You work.
Yes, you do. And finally, your fondest Christmas memory. Is there a certain Christmas that stands out, or maybe you're at a certain destination, or just a certain memory that pops in your head?
Wow, that's a great one. You know, Christmas changes so much as you get older because, you know, your family isn't quite as whole as it once was. And then new family comes along in the form of kids with most people. I've reached that chapter in my life. But I think my favorite Christmas memories were when my grandparents were still alive and all my aunts and uncles and cousins would get together and it was a full household around Christmas. It's not quite been the same since the patriarch and matriarchs have passed away. But we still get together in smaller numbers, and so long as you got those that you love most and hold nearest and dearest to your heart with you, that's the best gift any Christmas could offer. So I think my favorite ones, it wasn't a location or anything about what happened or what was given or received. It was about having the full room of folks. And if I could go back to any Christmas in time, it would be, you know, my early childhood with the full set of grandparents. My grandpa would get his VHS camcorder out, which was super popular back in the late 80s and early 90s, and record everything. And I would get to play the role of Santa and passing the gifts out from underneath the tree, even though I was way too young. But I thought, hey, spotlight's on me. I get to do this, you know. Yeah. Those were the best times, man. So that's probably my favorite Christmas.
Oh, that's so well said, and thank you so much for sharing those memories. That's very, very cool. Well, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Thanks for all your cooperation and being with us each week to talk KU Athletics. It's been a tremendous 2022. We'll talk to you one more time before we say adieu to 2022 and ring in the new year. We'll talk to you next Thursday to recap the bowl game down in Memphis. Safe travels, my friend, and Merry Christmas to you.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you, buddy. So grateful for our friendship and all you do for me and KU Athletics. So thanks so much. Hope it's a very blessed holiday with your family. And, yeah, let's talk about a big bowl win next time we hook up.
Ron Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought each and every Thursday by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.